Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 768, and we're recording on January 22nd, 2026. That is a Thursday, and I am Martin Spriggs, and we've joined a show about technology and ministry and where those two happen to intersect. And joining me, as usual, in frigid and blizzardy, I think, Minnesota, or did the blizzard pass, Sally?
Disappointing blizzard.
Oh, it was the winds have
died down.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm joining you, and I have a title for the show right off the bat. It's going to be called Herding the Cats, because we've got the cats along today.
Who let the cats in?
Yeah. I don't know. What do the cats say?
Go ahead and introduce them, Sally.
Yes, we are hosting our regular EdTech conversation, and luckily joined by Jason Schmidt and Rachel Reno to talk ed tech. And as if that wasn't exciting enough, we've added one more to the mix, and that's Dr. Bob Martins, who's there at Martin Luther College. We'll start with Bob. Tell us what your title is, Bob.
Sadly, they must have transferred the doctorate from Dr. Martin Luther College to me at some point, and that's why we had to lose the moniker back in 95. Currently I have the privilege of serving as the Director of Information Technology here on campus, which is quite an honor, having grown up in the shadow of the college to an extent my whole life here in New Ulm. So get to work with Rachel and a variety of other people, and it's just a privilege to serve in this capacity. So happy to be here, too. We'll see if you're still happy to have me here in a little bit, but I'm happy to be here at least for this.
We've definitely
increased our Minnesota resident count, you know, on the show. Now they outnumber us.
Yeah, we're outnumbered, Martin.
I know. And we doubled our doctors too. So
that's right. There's another doctor.
Got everything. Yeah.
Dr. Rachel Reno, welcome.
Thanks for having me again.
Happy to have you. Hope your Wi-Fi works.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Bob set it up, so it's got to be good.
No, hold on. Let's not go that far. That access point was replaced this summer. I had nothing to do with that. That was our student worker's fault. So
he's already dodging our questions.
Oh, boy. Like a true IT admin. I appreciate that.
I'm in management now. I got to get used to that sort of stuff.
That's right. Deflect.
Last but not least.
30 seconds for it, so now all off the rails. So,
Jason Schmidt, thanks for joining us from Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Super excited to be here, as always.
Awesome. Great. Thank you.
Appreciate you all. So as Sally mentioned, once a month during the school year, we try and devote some time. No, it's not once a month. It's every other month. Sally's shaking her head at me. Okay.
Every other month.
Seems more often, right? We are talking about educational technology, and this is an opportunity for us to kind of dig deep into that space, and we enjoy the conversation, especially with our knowledgeable guests. And Bob, thank you for joining us. We're talking about a program and a focus. You know, I don't know if I'd call it a focus. It's important to certain people on the MLC campus that we provide technology leadership, or we provide or train for young men and women to go out, or those who are already in the field, to ramp up their technology leadership skills. One thing that we recognize across the Wells is that most of us wear many hats, and one of those hats is often, hey, you do the technology stuff. So we want to provide some training, some tools, some tips, some inspiration maybe for those who feel they can do that as well. And maybe someday we will, you know, see more and more that are kind of devoted to this ed tech leadership role, on a in a particular faculty or not. So that's why we had Bob here. He is, as he mentioned, he is a technology director and but also a part of the program of study. So maybe Bob, if you would outline that little piece of your work for sure. MLC and how you contribute to the emphasis and the graduate program and all mm-hmm. the things.
Yeah, so it was kind of a what would you say? A second or third order effect of completing my doctorate was that we were looking to revamp, but that came a number of years ago to kind of review and reconfigure the educational technology items within the graduate program specifically, but a little bit more broadly talking about what are the competencies and the skills and the topics that ministry professionals would need to be fluent, at least more fluent in order to be successful and effective leaders in the area of technology. And it isn't, I mean, I'm sure Jason, Rachel, Martin, and Sally will all agree too. It's one of the cool benefits of being comfortable and leading in technology is that you have to get used to leading in a variety of different ways. In leading through problem solving, critical thinking, being comfortable with being uncomfortable, which is not a common thing that we talk about very often when it comes to leadership in a lot of other areas, maybe, but with how quickly, and I know we can talk about AI until the cows that are generating
and we have
come
been,
home.
So.
Right. And that's a broad area, but technology has never been an area that's settled. Mm-hmm. And there's some challenges that are just kind of baked into the cake when you're trying to take an area that's very unsettled and then map that to support the ministry work that's going on that is, in some cases, the most settled part of it. And so those tensions can create a lot of opportunities to work with faculty, staff, pastors, teachers, staff ministers across the whole spectrum of ministry. And the hope was we could provide some graduate programs and now also some certificate options to provide some training in those areas. And of course, because we're at Martin Luther College, maybe a greater emphasis on the teaching ministry and the staff, the teaching ministry right now side of things, especially where the tech director mm-hmm. program sits, which is in the Master of Science and Educational Administration side of that house. And so yeah. very much a complementary and a support role to the principal, superintendent, those roles that are already within the structures. And I know we'll talk probably some more just about what some of that might look like, but that's kind of the framing of why is this a need and the many hats is part of it. And I'm biased, so I'll just get that out right off the bat. But I think if you're well-versed in leading in an educational technology setting, you're able to support leading in a variety of different areas too. Just taking those same comfort, the same level of understanding of how systems fit together to be able to serve in a variety of different areas. So that was our hope to be able to target and provide some help in those areas.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned the certificate, which I was actually unaware of until just recently, and maybe that's because it's fairly new.
Yes. Yep.
Maybe, Rachel, you can speak to that a little bit. What was kind of the genesis of that? Why does that exist? And tell us a little bit more about what it is.
Sure. So the redesign of the program and the tech director emphasis, the goal was kind of that we do things in very unique ways in the Wells. And if you're listening
Cheers.
To this, I'm sure mm-hmm. you know that. and one of those things is in our technology leadership. If we were in like a big school district, you have like your IT personnel who know kind of the nuts and bolts. You have your technology facilitators or whatever they're, media specialists or a variety of different names. And then to, help teachers with their integration or help students. And then you probably also are bringing in outside PD or PD from others in the area. And in our schools, all those jobs often fall to the same person. or group small group of people, like very small group of people. And so in recognizing that, we designed a program that touches on all of those things to help our technology leaders be comfortable at least in each of those spaces, and at the very least know where they can go to get more help for the spaces that they're not specifically comfortable in. And in designing the certificates this last, was that last semester, Bob, I think?
Yeah, I think we were
Kind
working
of,
on that last summer.
yeah. We looked at the existing master's degree, and it kind of divides itself nicely into two groups. More of the hardware and leading professional development-y type stuff, and then also the instructional technology type stuff. So we took those core courses, and I believe each certificate has three courses in it, one for leadership and one for instructional tech. And if you take those three, you will get a graduate level certificate in that area. And then you can kind of stack those on top of each other. And if you get both of those certificates, you are half, two-thirds of the way there to
Yep.
to your full master's degree. So it kind of provides some maybe more attainable set stepping stones for our super busy technology personnel while still being able to have like a certificate, some sort of a actual, hey, I did this at the end to share with your faculty and school and such along the way.
Another benefit is it allows a person to choose kind of if there's an area that they're less comfortable in or they want to have some additional study and they're not interested in a master's, they can go and split it up that way. It was seen as kind of a win, hopefully. This is the prayerfully, it's a win-win in that regard, both for the individual out there who's looking to do some additional studying, and for the calling body at that point to provide some flexibility that way.
So, Bob, you've got a course on infrastructure. Tell us a little bit
Yes.
about what that looks like.
Well, before I fell down the management rabbit hole, I was the campus's system and network administrator, and so I was the primary person responsible for all of the servers and network. Networks, actually, plural, here on campus. And as a college campus, we kind of liken it to a 24/7, we're an ISP basically, 24/7 ISP when students are on. So I really like this stuff. And that'll be evident in a little bit as well later on. But the course, we try to right size it. We talk about the basic infrastructure pieces you have to have in place, along with how can you plan for the future to make sure you're staying on top of changing technologies, changing needs. That's definitely become more evident over time. The war stories that I like to tell is when we got a little bit behind on the streaming video bandwagon here on campus, and the students came back from break once, so then all of a sudden we have a huge increase in the amount of bandwidth that's being utilized during certain parts of the evening, and we had to make changes. So how can you try to stay on top of those trends, and you can right size your infrastructure for what your ministry needs are? Because there are some things that are universal across the board. I think wireless is one of those things that if you don't have wireless in your ministry, you're going to be really hamstrung. And if
Or reliable
or
wireless.
reliable, and I was just going to
Right.
say, and then within that space, if you've got, the venerable one router in the back of a closet somewhere that you think is going to be serving your needs from a ministry aspect, it has to start with conversations at that point. And so we talk through what would those conversations look like, what sorts of things are we looking for, what are some of the challenges, especially for a lot of our ministries that are in, I will say, more experienced buildings, have buildings that have been added on to multiple times. So what are some of the considerations along those lines, along with the basics of networking and then hardware choices, what are available out there? How can you put together a plan? And I'm going to be working through later on this spring of a little bit of a revamp and rejiggering of the course to be a little bit more comprehensive that way as well, as we've modified things over time just to help get the individual thinking about how do we position the conversations and the role of the technology person, whether you're a director or not. But if you're the person responsible for technology, how do we position those conversations to be as fruitful for the ministry and for the planning as possible, and not be at odds? Because it can be, whenever you start talking about budget or infrastructure or spending money on things or wanting to improve stuff, that can make the conversations be less than fruitful. So we try to cover a variety of different things that way. So I've gotten better at the budget part over the years. So still got room to grow, but we're getting there.
Yeah, I believe, yeah, and I've talked to a lot of teachers who have been kind of thrown into the technology coordinator, director, whatever role. And I think in almost every case, this has been their biggest fear. I don't know anything about networks or security or, procurement or I mean, I can set up my home router, but Spectrum did most of the work for that, and it's like, this is a scary thing. And if you don't get it right, everybody suffers, right, from a lot of different perspectives. So I can totally see why this is part of the certificate and part of the master's degree as well.
And
And that's exactly what this course was designed for. I remember in our first talk discussions about this course saying this needs to be what would Rachel need to know about networking if she was going to be a tech director? Because I would have those same problems. I can set up a wireless network in my home, no problem. But anything else, I'm calling my dad. And so, what would Rachel need to know to not have to call her dad if she were a tech director?
And so we do cover things like vendor relationship management, and those sorts of things too, because in a lot of cases for our schools, it's a time sink. Like technology improvements and infrastructure improvements, and I'm sure Jason can speak to this as well. You've got limited time, so you have to figure out what you can handle yourself, what you're comfortable with, and what things you've got to look to. The use of the term is outsourced, but what do you partner with other people? And that partnership can look like people in the congregation or supporters of the ministry at various times. But even that takes relationship management at that point too, because you never want to be left in a situation where you've created a dependency that you don't know how to work through it when things don't go the way you expect. So it's I'll admit I'm a DIYer for the most part, so I do a lot of the technology pieces. And I know Rachel, when she first came here to MLC, was very relieved to hear that there was somebody who was going to be handling the network on campus. So that was like the start of one of our first conversations when she got here. So there's lots of opportunities to offload or partner with others, but that in its own way requires an amount of care and intention. And that's a key word a lot of times is, are we making decisions that are intentional, or are we making decisions because we've got the new shiny sitting around and we got to do things and we got to move fast? And very rarely are good decisions made when we think quickly and act quickly. It's better to intentionally make decisions, think slowly, and then act quickly once we've got a good handle on things that way. And that could take a variety of different ways of looking at the when it comes to the actual design and implementation.
To be clear, I wouldn't have taken the call if they wanted me to run the wireless network. That would have put MLC back about 10 years or so. So
I'm
Well,
curious about this. Go ahead, Jason.
You just plug in a Linksys router in each classroom. Like, it'd be fine.
I could actually
Yeah.
manage, but
Right.
that's a
No
bad
comment. No
idea.
comment.
I'm curious about the students you're attracting and maybe some of the natural networking that's occurring. I'm networking in the people sense.
In the
Um,
analog
sense,
sense,
yes.
yes.
so as you say, having a good relationships and things, I'm thinking some of those relationships are probably organically happening in the classroom and that they're assisting each other in certain ways. Do you see that happening?
Yeah, it is. It is kind of cool. And I'll admit, I encourage some of that through the use of things like Google Chat Spaces and stuff for each one of the sections that we run, or the or for any of the courses. That's kind of something I've fallen into, and I enjoy that. But sharing experiences asking questions about how things would be handled in certain situations, what people have seen that work and what don't work. That's some of that natural just camaraderie that comes in. And to be honest, it's probably a unique thing to Wells and MLC in that the downside is we have a very narrow demographic we're reaching into for a lot of these things. The benefit, though, is that we have a very narrow demographic that we're reaching into who have a lot of shared experiences already as far as for a vast majority, they came to campus. They have experiences that have been here. They, in some cases, they've known each other from different things. They're going to the same teachers' conferences. They're going to the same leadership conference that was held in Chicago over the past few days. And so having those shared experiences makes the sharing a lot easier than I do teach in other in other campuses, other courses. It can take some coaxing to get those things to happen, that natural networking. But that's kind of the dual, you know, you have challenges and you have opportunities when it comes to who we are. And that comes out in the courses. And I think it can add in some cases to the richness of the back and forth that the students have themselves to be able to support each other in that way.
Maybe a plug for our Wells Tech Google group as well. That's a place
Yeah.
where we've seen that kind of networking occur as well. And there have been questions all over the spectrum there. And almost always someone pipes up and says, this was my experience and this is the vendor we
Yes.
used and
Yeah.
that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would second Bob's comment on the collegiality, the familiarity. A lot of the students that I was teaching, they were in the same class with the same people all the way through. I mean, it's a pretty tight group, and that's a good, I think that in most cases that's a very good thing where they get comfortable and they become resources and friends. And there's a I hate to use the phrase misery loves company, but there is a shared experience that, you know, goes along with, you know, managing technology that it helps to have somebody that's going through the same stuff too.
Kind of a just an addition onto that is it's always interesting to hear what's similar within the ministry context that they're in, and yet what is so vastly different. Even within same geographic areas, there's a lot of things that can be applied, but it still takes an individual learning about the people that they're working with and the community and the expectations of the school to figure out how can we make this thing work with what we have. And so it's interesting to see that dichotomy appear almost over and over and over again of these are the things that are just universally applicable because that's what we're within the human context. And here are the things that because I've got X or Y that make this a little bit different, or I have to approach it slightly different in order to get the buy-in that's necessary.
Before we move on from this topic, I wanted to let Jason talk about what he teaches toward this program as well. So I think that's a key component.
Yeah, so the course that I teach is in the technology integration strand. I have an emerging technologies class. So it's offered every other year. I just taught it this last fall. So if you wanted to take it, you got to wait until 2027.
Yeah, same with mine. Yeah.
But it's a fun class in that we cover all kinds of really interesting topics. And because it's only offered every other year, I end up rewriting about two-thirds of it every time. So I just had my course review with Rachel, and she was like, "So what do you think about this part of it?" And I was like, "I don't know. I didn't really like that, but that's okay. I won't do it again." So, like, yeah,
That's
so
kind
that
of a
part of it.
product of being in the tech space anyway, right?
Correct. So, this last time around, we spent a lot of time with AI, obviously, and probably planning to use a lot of that stuff again next time it comes around because stuff is just keeps on changing, and we've gotta keep on top of stuff. So that's my contribution to this program.
Very
Gosh, I
bland,
wrote
yeah.
that class maybe. I first taught it probably 10 or 12 years ago. And it just keeps on coming back for some reason. John Meyer just keeps saying, like, "Hey, do you want to teach it again?" I'm like, "Are you sure?" So
So I had that question
but
too when he talked to me.
it is a great joy, and I'm honored to have that privilege to be able to contribute in that way.
Yeah. Rachel, before we move on, well, we can have an honest conversation here. What's the health of this program? I mean, how many students are in it, and where do we want it to go, and what's your assessment of it right now?
So this is one where we are definitely trying to get some more students into it. It kind of had its like initial, ooh, this is a new thing and it looks great, but then has I'd say decreased in enrollment over the past couple years. And I understand it, you know, being a tech whatever leader is a very busy thing, and so to get, you know, the time to take these courses and get that instruction is definitely a difficult thing to do. So that was our hope with the certificate program, is that, you know, biting off smaller chunks is a little more manageable, and then you can, you know, take a break in between those three courses or do what you need to do. You can also just, you know, take the courses that seem most interesting to you. While we would love all of our students to go on to a graduate the de full degree, you can take, I don't remember how many courses you can take without officially applying, but I think it's one or two. So like if you were in a boat like me and you're like, hey, I am fine with like using Google and those things, but if you ask me to do a network, things are going to get hairy. You can jump into Bob's course when it's offered, and kind of get a feel for our program. And I think what you'll find is, I mean, you're looking at four of the instructors right here, but our other instructors too, are just people with a big heart for ministry who want to help our existing tech directors and leaders just make the best use of their time, make connections with each other, have access to the best resources, and really be able to form a tight-knit group of people supporting tech use around our synod. I think that is probably the most beneficial part of our programs, even outside of the tech director program. I think that's one of the biggest benefits of our graduate programs as a whole. And they are all designed and taught by people who love the ministry just as much as you do, and are just on fire for helping people to do their ministry in the best way possible.
Awesome elevator pitch. Long elevator ride, but it was good.
Wow. It's a
Awesome.
tall
Yeah, I
building.
would
It's a tall
second
building.
that. Absolutely. It is fun to teach, and it's fun to see the students, especially in a graduate program. It makes it more fun because they have now real life experience, and they can kind of call you on the carpet and say, "I don't have time for that," or "How are we going to strategize how to do this?" And they make it very real, right? And that's pretty cool. All right, let's move on. We'll put links to all the programs and such in the show notes so that you can get that or share it with your conference mates or whatever. Lots of good stuff there. Thank you for your insights, Bob. Appreciate it. If you want to hang around, we would love to maybe get a pick from you and pick your brain a little bit more as we go here. We're in the ministry resources section. What do we got, Sally?
Well, first up, we're going to make mention of something we've talked about over the years on the podcast. I can't remember what it used to be called, but there's basically a think tank type group that comes up with K through 12 innovation topics related to technology. So the group is called COSIN, Leading Education Innovation. And I looked up what that stands for, the Consortium for School Networking.
That's correct.
And I thought it was best maybe to hand off to Jason to talk about the hurdles, accelerators, and tech enablers from COSIN.
COSIN, for people who aren't familiar with that, that's the national organization for tech coordinators, CTOs, like people like that. So, like you think about ISTE, that is more for teachers. COSIN is for the people who keep the lights on. So it's a great professional organization that I've been a part of for, oh gosh, like 6 or 7 years. Sorry, I couldn't do it. I couldn't not do it. So they took over It used to be the Horizon Report. I just thought
There
of
you
that like
go.
just now.
Excellent.
So they took that over when the previous organization was no longer going to be maintaining that. And now they do an annual report on hurdles and accelerators. So the way that this works is like, and I've had the privilege of being a part of that committee last year and this year. So we do a poll, we do a survey of like these are the trends and things that we're seeing, and there's hundreds of people that are polled for this, and then we take the top themes that come out of that and have discussion around like is this a theme, is this not, what does this kind of mean, and then we based on those discussions we kind of narrow things down to three things that are hurdles and three things that are accelerators. And then, like, explain a little bit more about how those fit into what's going on within schools nationwide. So it's really a great way to kind of keep your finger on the pulse of, what are the things that we're kind of peeking around the corner a little bit to see what's in there. A few things that are that like it's not always. They don't always do a really good job of like predicting what's going to be a thing. Like virtual reality has been on there for a couple of years, and there's just a certain cohort of people who really think that that's going to be a really big thing. But we're just not seeing the investment in that space that would really be something that we would say like this is really driving innovation and change within schools. There are definitely pockets of it, but more so than anything else, like it's things like workforce development and artificial intelligence and data governance, and those kinds of things are really the topics that we're seeing a lot of traction in. So it's really just interesting. It's an interesting discussion. It's an interesting conversation. And any technology leader can access those materials and get an idea of kind of where things are headed. So it's a good way to keep an eye on trends.
And
And
I
I
just
just,
make a
oh,
go ahead
go
real
ahead,
quick,
Bob.
Sally.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just gonna make a plug. These sorts of groups, like in general, these associations, professional development associations for technology people, are vital. Like, it's so beneficial. Find ones that are applicable to the area that you're working in and get active inside of them, because there's no better way to try and keep on top of things without being overwhelmed than to crowdsource some of these things through associations this way. So
That's awesome.
it's so important.
And if you live in Wisconsin, sorry, Minnesota people, but if you live in Wisconsin, you actually get a free COSIN membership as part of like our state DPI purchased a statewide membership. So everybody can have access if you're in Wisconsin. So sorry, Bob, you're gonna have to pay for your own membership.
Is that in Wisconsin, Jason? I forget.
It is
All
Wisconsin.
right, good.
Yes.
Just making
Wisconsin.
sure. Yeah,
It's the
I
good
think you
side.
said
It's the good
Wisconsin. Yes.
side of the
Mississippi.
Mississippi River.
There you go.
God's country. Yeah.
God's
So
country.
we'll have a
God
link in
owns
the
it all.
show notes to the current report. I think the report that's out currently is from 2025, so I'm sure they're working diligently. Jason's at work right now producing the 2026 one. But we'll have a link, and I actually use Notebook LM, and so I'm going to link to a couple of summaries that Notebook LM did for me, infographic, audio, and video.
Pretty
So if you
impressive. I like it.
like an overview or whatever, that might be a good place to start. COSIN, accelerators, hurdles, and tech enablers. So good stuff.
Good. Yeah. Thanks for your work there, Jason. I threw another one in here, Sally. We mentioned the Wells National Conference on Lutheran Leadership, which I just got back from yesterday, was ended yesterday. So we were down in Chicago Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I had a breakout group called Screens and Souls. So I thought I would share the presentation that I had there in a couple of breakouts that I did. Really awesome time and great conversations. Kind of revealing there were a lot of students at this leadership conference. They invited participation from college and high school students from across the Synod. They had almost, I think, probably 500-600 students, as part of the audience. And a number of them attended my session, which was nice because we really got their take on things like attention span and what the internet is doing to their brains and what screens are doing to their lives. And so we had some great conversations about that. I took a little bit different tack to this presentation. Normally, I try and keep it simple, seven words or three bullets, or this I felt could be a useful presentation that somebody could take and, into their own congregation or school and use to open up a conversation. So I got a little wordy. I included a lot of research and links and all that good stuff. So that's all in this presentation. So if you're interested in kind of thinking about and looking at the brain science behind screens and what it's doing to our spirituality, because it is not a neutral thing, this would be maybe something to quick grab the link and read through it. And then I pushed a lot of resources down there at the bottom too. So that's in our ministry resource section as well. All right,
Awesome,
let's move
Martin.
on to our picks of the week. And Bob, I think you have something you'd like to share with us. So we'll let our guest go first. And this looks pretty geeky because I have no idea what this is, just looking at the title and the show notes here. So impress us.
I will admit it's a little bit on brand for a person who teaches school technology infrastructure.
Bringing
This
it.
is probably not something you'll find in your ministry context, maybe, but it's the culmination of a lot of work here at on campus that we are getting close to rolling out the next generation for our networking infrastructure. And the highlight from a pure technology standpoint is going to be 100 gigabit links between the two, actually the three different sections of campus where we will be able to have servers. So all it means, it's going to go super fast and it's super cool to have it. So we replaced our entire fiber network on campus, which connects all of our buildings. It's the physical connection between all of our buildings. And part of it was to add some redundancy so that we have a story to tell around disaster recovery, say if we lose a building or something like that due to a fire or something similar. However, another thing is to increase capacity to all those locations. And these connections between our, we call them our server spaces on campus, will allow us to be able to have some redundancy that way, but maintain the required speeds to be able to serve the parts of campus effectively, no matter where that data is going to be coming from. So these 100 gigabit links are going to be, we're really excited. In some places, we could do multiple 100 gigabit links in the future if we really need to start pushing those bits fast. So these transceivers, they're optical transceivers, optical modules, so they're fiber modules that are we're going to be utilizing between our spaces, and it'll help to serve the needs of the students, faculty, and staff here on campus more effectively, and hopefully provide 25 to 30 years of bandwidth into the future. That's a very dangerous thing to say as far as how bandwidth usage is going to increase, but we're replacing the original fiber network that was put in place when the campus was amalgamated in 1995. We're hoping that this will, it's not going to future-proof us. We're not going to do the whole Bill Gates, no one's ever going to need more than, 8 kilobits to on their of memory to do computing, but it'll give us a lot of headroom and provide a stable foundation to build on for the future. So
So you're moving
that's
from
my
what
pick.
capacity to what capacity?
So between each building on campus, the current fiber maxes out at 1 gigabit. So say
So
for example, if you're
you're
serving a dorm.
100xing that. Okay.
Yeah, and the theoretical limits are even greater than that. These are just the transceivers that we can get our hands on right now. So we're looking at hopefully not having to touch the fiber connections between the buildings in the same way for at least a few decades. It might outlive my time on campus, which would be good.
And the
Thank you for
price is
being
amazingly
at those
low for
controls.
something so exciting.
Yes. Yeah, that's come that has been a benefit
Amazing.
of time as the price has come down significantly.
Yeah, they got to work
So
on their naming convention. So
it's a little rough.
100GLR4 single mode optical module just kind of
Yeah.
rolls off the tongue. Maybe
Yeah,
for an infrastructure geek, it's like candy, but
the words have meaning, like the each piece of
right?
that
Oh, of
has a
course,
meaning at
yeah.
that point. But then if you get down to the QSFP28 transceiver, that's when it starts to get a little bit
Oh
crazier.
yeah.
But yeah, so we're excited to
Good.
deploy these across
Oh, we
campus
can
for
tell
sure.
you're excited, and we're excited because you're excited.
That's good.
Our students will be excited when they can do all the things. So
Well, they can stream
awesome.
their Xbox games as quickly
Great.
as possible. And
Yep. All right, Rachel, you're up. What do you got?
if ever there was something that illustrated the difference between me
Yeah.
and Bob,
We share a wall. It's okay. It's this one right here. That's the
we
wall that we
do.
share.
Yes.
It's good.
It's a very thin wall. That's why I'm not in my office.
That's why you're not there right now.
My pick, you can actually like figure out what it is by looking at it. So my husband has willingly dragged me on this health kick, and one of those things involves drinking more liquids, which I'm really, really terrible about. But this also matches with a pick I had several years ago of my favorite water bottle ever, which I still have, and annoyingly forgot at home this morning, so I can't show you this cool thing that's now attached to my wall of water bottle. But it's a water bottle timer. It's really dead simple. It's this little, mine says, "Don't be a cactus." That's the one that I have.
I
It's
love
on a little
it.
silicone band. It goes around whatever water bottle you're drinking, and every half hour it lights up and blinks. It doesn't make any noise, but it blinks like crazy. And then will stop blinking once it gets tipped because there's some sort of motiony something in there. And this is weirdly probably the most effective thing I've ever used for
No
drinking more
kidding.
water because I really want that light to stop flashing. Also, it's cute. I've been around my nieces and nephews, and if my water bottle's there and they see it blinking, they will pick it up and run it over to me. "You have to drink right now." So that's kind of helpful too.
That's
But it's
awesome.
reasonably priced. You can, I believe, replace the battery, which is awesome. So it's not like
Todd.
just throwaway tech. And it's very helpful. And if you look at it, you can understand it. So that's cool too.
I'm way
It's a
less
great
confused
gift
now.
idea,
I'm way
great
less
stocking stuffer
confused.
idea. This is awesome.
I've been
We
wondering what
could.
that was on your water bottle for like since after Christmas. And now I know what it is. So we're
You
good.
should
We're
you
good.
should produce some MLC branded ones and
It's not a
sell
bad
them in the
idea.
bookstore.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
You gotta think of some
I would
water
love
thing that you
that.
can attach to
Don't be a cactus. I love it. All right, Jason.
All
Top
right.
that.
Jason
Top
bridges the gap between me and
yeah, I was
Bob.
gonna say, holy cow, like how do I even
Whiplash right there
follow
with
that?
the
I don't
suit
even
down too.
know. Let's split the difference, Jason.
Mine is more of a tip than a pick this week. So one thing that I've been making a lot of use out of recently is split view in Google Chrome. So the way that this works is you have an active tab that you're using and you have another tab that you maybe want to refer to. You simply right click on it and then click on the tab that you want next to it. And the difference between like taking this and pulling it into a separate window is that it's within that tab. So like let's say I'm working in these two tabs and then I need to go to another one. I can just click on the other tab that I want to go to, and everything is all in the same window. So when you are working on things, like I find it incredibly useful when I'm like, I'm working on something and I have a spreadsheet that I'm referring to, and I'm also trying to type an email or something like that. So I'll use split view so I can switch back and forth between those two tabs really easily. And it's just really quick built into the browser like that. So, and then when I don't need it anymore, if you look on Sally's screen, it's got the little X's up there, or you can click on the three dots in the corner and then
Oh, sure.
unsplit. And then it'll go back to like your way that it was before. So I've been using that like crazy, because like, and now, you know, like I have, yeah, it's been a very useful thing for my productivity. So Google Chrome's split view.
Nice. Yeah.
Very nice.
Totally free too. Yeah,
That's
Edge
right.
has had
Yeah.
this for a long time, but now Chrome, which is far more popular, has it. That's awesome.
I mean, it's no 100 gigabit transceiver, but it's pretty good.
No,
Hey, you
what
know,
is?
I
No flashing
got a
light.
little I got a little too excited when I saw your pick, Bob. I was like, well, seriously? Like 100 gigs? Wow.
Get a
Like, yeah,
grip.
I had to pick my jaw up off of the floor for a minute.
Right.
I know. I know. I know. I know.
All right, Sally, let's bring some sanity
Top
here.
that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've picked this before, Martin. I
You have,
searched.
I think, or something
Oh,
like it. Yeah, but that's
bummer.
okay.
Okay, I searched and didn't find it, but I used it just recently to send some packages. I thought it was worth mentioning again. It's really simple to use pirateship.com to create your own mail labels and send packages without having to stand in line at the post office. You can just drop them on the counter and be done. And you save up to 87% off postal and UPS rates. So it's free to get an account and easy to track your packages from here. You can include the person's email address or whatever for their contact information if desired, and quick and easy to use. You just need a scale to be able to weigh your packages, and I use my kitchen scale for that, and it's accurate. I've had like one package that we had to weigh actually with our bathroom scale because it was like 13 pounds or something, that I was off a little bit on the weight. And so I know that they'll come back to you if you aren't correct on your weight and stuff. So my kitchen scale's been accurate and given me the correct weights, and I ship packages all the time with pirateship.com. It will spit out a label that's the typical like 4 inch by 6 inch label that would be used by UPS or whatever. But if you don't have a label printer, you can just print it and tape it onto your package, print it on your regular printer on paper and tape it on. So it's not a requirement to have a label printer specifically for Pirate Ship. So check it out.
Nice. I've been meaning to try that. I just haven't had a lot of use for it, but it's perfect for your context.
For
So
sure. For sure.
cool. All right, that brings me to my pick, and my pick is a recently released, basically website, or you could almost call it a web app from Concordia Publishing House, The Book of Concord. This is a compendium or a collection of all of the confessional writings that make up our Lutheran church body. In fact, when a pastor is ordained, he agrees that he believes and teach and will teach all the things in the Book of Concord. So you have things like the Small Catechism, the Large Catechism, the Formula of Concord, the Small Called Articles, the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, and the Augsburg Confession, etc. So this is not a totally new work, obviously. So it's actually, if you read the about this, they have taken the translation from the Concordia Triglotta. Triglotta meaning three translations. So you've got the Latin, the German, and the English in three different columns. If you've ever looked at a Triglotta, just ask your pastor. He probably has one on his shelf. But that the English translation in there is pretty stilty. It's very difficult. I find it pretty difficult. I think most people find it difficult to read. So what they've done is they've spruced the English translation up and then pumped it into a web app that makes it easy to grab and search, and it's in your pocket. So it's on one of those pages where I have my Bible app and other Bible study tools, and it is just a great resource to have. And your catechumens, is that what we call them? People in catechism class, this is a great resource for them. Totally free. You just go to bookofconcord.cph.org, and there you have it. There's nothing more you really need to do. Put a shortcut on your phone or tablet or whatever, and it's right there for you. So I thought that was pretty cool that they released this, and maybe even why they hadn't done this before, but this is pretty neat. So updated the language, easier to read, and I think a nice addition to anybody's Bible study tools.
Awesome. Great find.
All right, let's see. We have community news and feedback next.
We do. Just a quick mention from Teacher Michael Vlieger, who's at Risen Savior here in Mankato, Minnesota. He recently shared with the WellsTech Google group that Google is currently offering their educator certifications for free. That's Google Certified Educators Level 1 and 2 exams, as well as the Gemini certified educator
Oh,
and
I didn't know there was one of
Gemini
those.
certified
Okay.
student certifications. And so he included a link. I'll put the link in the show notes to where you can learn more about the details and get enrolled if you're interested in
Yeah.
pursuing that. I think the Gemini one sounds
Cool. Yeah, I
really
didn't know that existed. Jason, you are a certified
everything.
individual.
Yes.
Yeah, certifiable. Yeah.
Yeah, so a little bit of background information on this. The reason that those things are that they're free for right now is Google has again changed the format of those certification exams. So the level one and level two, if you go back like about 5 years ago, there was a practical exam that went along with it, and they eliminated that and made everything multiple choice. And now they've reintroduced that rigor. So there's multiple choice portion of it, but then there's also go into this instance and do this and set these things up and send this message and all of those kinds of things. So it's really if even if you're not like a power user of Google, this is a really good example of how technology-rich assessment can be given. And done in such a way that is like that demonstrates practical knowledge. So, even if you're not necessarily worried about the certification itself, it's a really good example of an assessment, and how technology could be used to really enhance the way that those are done. And the Gemini certification, I was one of the field testers of that. It's if you use Gemini, it's super easy. It's 50 questions, multiple choice kind of a thing. But it definitely puts you into a position where like you can demonstrate that you know and understand how the tool works and everything. I would encourage everybody who's a user of anything like that. Like, and the Gemini certification is always going to be free. So you don't need to worry about a cost incurred with that, but definitely recommended and worth doing.
And do you get a badge?
Of course, badges.
That
We don't
is the
need no
best part,
stinking
right?
badges. And
Yeah, we
if you
talked
are
about that on a
certified,
show long ago. We're not going
yeah.
there again. Yeah.
Well,
All
that could be
right.
next time.
Yeah, it could be, but all right. Thanks, you guys. Really appreciate your feedback, and it's always good to have Rachel and Jason on. We threw Bob in the mix, and they all tend to get along nicely. So we enjoy the insights, and hopefully our listeners found some value there too. Sally, I don't know what we're doing next time. We've got some maybes and some what ifs, but we'll see. It'll be something on AI, I'm sure,
There
because
will
that's
be no
been what
cats
we've
to
doing.
herd,
No cats to herd. Yes. All right.
unfortunately.
We
Yeah,
herded ourselves pretty well.
cats are on their
Yes.
own. Yeah.
Oh, darn it.
All right. Thanks, you guys. Blessings on your ministries. Appreciate your time, and we appreciate you listeners for tuning in. You have lots of choices to spend your time, and you decided to spend an hour with us, and we really appreciate that. So, talk to you next time. Bye bye.